In J.K. Rowling's first book called The Sorcerer's Stone, the hero of the story, Harry Potter, at the age of 11 and in his first year of boarding school, finds himself by accident in a nearly empty room with a 7-foot freestanding mirror. He's actually hiding from a professor and the school janitor, so he has to lay low for a few minutes. Why not take a closer look at this mirror, which is, as it turns out, the only thing of interest in the room? He approaches the mirror, and as he stands before it, images slowly appear surrounding him. In the book, the images are the entirety of his family, parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins. In the movie, the images are only of his mom and his dad, she with a hand resting upon his shoulder. It takes him a bit to figure out that it is indeed his family. And being the orphan that he is, and not even knowing that he has a real family, he returns again and again to this room and to sit and gaze at the faces of these loved ones he had never before seen, not even in photographs. After a few visits, he decides he can no longer contain his secret, and he wakes up his best friend Ron in the middle of the night to take him to see his parents. Only Ron, when he gets in front of the mirror, sees himself as head boy of the school and captain of the Quidditch team and holding the tournament trophy for the end of the year. What could this mean? I'll come back to this, okay? This morning, in our Old Testament lesson from Judges, the picture is painted of a time when, in the midst of conflict within the religious community and political conflict, even unto war, the most powerful leaders could be summoned and directed by the leader of the God of Israel. In today's lesson from Judges, it is Deborah, a prophetess and the current judge of Israel, whose office, it seems, is somewhere under a palm tree. She has her own palm tree. Isn't that lovely? And so from this spot, in this shade, in the desert, she can summon the greatest leaders. She can summon the most powerful people in the land, and she can give them a plan, even a plan for battle, and tell them what it is that the Lord commands. Today, through her voice, the Lord commands who will win the battle. In the New Testament lesson from Thessalonians, God is portrayed as the one who might come as a thief in the night, bringing sudden destruction for all. Even though you and I are portrayed in this lesson as the children of light and children of the day, we are also advised not to ever fall asleep like others do, but to keep awake and be sober. And then in our gospel lesson is the familiar and complex parable of the talents. It might be obvious to all of us that the servant who received only one talent is probably not the sharpest knife in the drawer. The property owner did not give each servant the same amount of money. And then, when on the return trip, when this one talent servant tells his master, "I knew that you were a harsh man," and he goes on in his criticism of his master, it's very clear to us that he is doomed and why he is doomed. This part is easy to understand. But what I find complex is the closing of this passage, which reads, "To all those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." What a confusing message this gives. I don't know if I am someone who has or someone who has nothing. I don't know where I fit in this parable and what I am supposed to do to make sure that I am not thrown into the outer darkness. All of our lessons today are about judgment. And for most of us, the thought of judgment is about doing right and wrong, making proper choices, being favored in God's eyes, or being accepted by God into the kingdom of God. However, I would like to try today to reframe this common notion of what judgment is away from the question of what is wrong with me or what have I done wrong, and toward a new and unique notion of judgment pointing us to the question of what do I need? What do I need? Jumping back now to Harry Potter, who in this story was looking into the mirror of Erised. The headmaster of the school, Professor Dumbledore, a little later in our story, tries to explain to him what the mirror really shows. And here's a portion of their conversation. "Let me explain," the professor says. "The happiest man on earth would be able to use the mirror of Erised like a normal mirror. That is, he would look into it and see himself exactly as he is. Does that help?" Harry thought, and then he said slowly, "It shows us what we want, whatever we want." "Yes and no," said Dumbledore. "It shows us nothing more or less than the deepest, most desperate desire of our hearts." End of quote. That happiest person who could look into the mirror and see only the self-reflection looking back is seeing herself or himself, my friends, without any judgment, seeing themselves as lacking nothing, seeing themselves as whole, complete. That person is seeing themselves the same way that God can see us, without judgment. Herein lies the difference between these two questions. On the one hand, what is wrong with me? And on the other hand, what do I need? What is wrong with me versus what do I need? Harry Potter needed to know that he was loved because when he was less than a year old, his parents were killed and an unhappy family of relatives raised him in an environment where he felt unwanted and unloved. He needed to feel loved. And when that happened, he became himself and he was able to grow and learn and also love others. His friend Ron needed to know, as the youngest son with four older brothers, that he too could become a leader in his school. He needed to know that he could also accomplish great things as his brothers had and not always be the baby boy. Both Harry and Ron needed to move away from self-assessment, self-judgment, toward self-realization. When we do not know what we need, we fail. Not so much God, but we fail ourselves. When we do not know what we need, we act out of fear, as the servant of the one talent did. And when we are afraid, we hide, and we cannot connect to our own value. When we do not know what we need, we forget the values and the talents that we somehow know are ours or somehow know we can develop And instead, we operate out of our emotions, emotions like fear and anger and jealousy and greed. When we do not know what we need, and therefore let ourselves down, we often hurt others, which does create a failure to follow God's call for us to honor and respect all persons. Judgment comes up everywhere in the Christian story. It comes up in Christian political dialogues and debates. It comes up on the radio and on the television when popular, fundamental, or literal Christian personalities speak. And this notion of judgment is scary for all of us. And yet it is much misunderstood and often misused. Judgment begins and ends with the cross, my friends. It was all settled with the cross. And now we are given the opportunity to bask in the love of God, to follow God's command, and to love one another, and to love ourselves. The mirror of Erised provides an image of judgment. It shows us nothing more or less than the deepest, most desperate desire of our hearts. It is not a coincidence that Erised reversed spells desire. And this image of judgment as God showing us what we truly need is reflected in passages of Scripture, about 11 passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, particularly in Psalms 20 and 37. We hear that God wants to give us the desires of our heart. Surely this does not mean money or perfect health, success in life, but rather the fulfillment of our deepest needs. Looking for, listening to, attending to the deepest and most desperate desire of our hearts will lead us to fullness of life, of joy, of happiness, and also to full communion with our loving God.